How many of you know that we've been believing God for a long time? Life
forever. If you would, open your Bible up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to continue our study on the power of the Spirit. We began with about 8 weeks on being filled with the Spirit. Then we moved into being led by the Holy Spirit for another 8 weeks. And now, this is week three, I believe, in the power of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want us all to read verses 4 through 11 together. I'm reading from the New King James, so if you don't have that particular translation, that's okay. But follow along on the screens, if you would, so that we can all read the same words. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin reading at the 4th verse, and then we're going to conclude with the 11th verse. Reading loudly and together, let's read. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now we talked last week about verses 4, 5, and 6, where Paul writes and says, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but it's the same Lord Jesus. And there are diversities of activities or effects, special effects that happen when you combine the gifts and the ministries together. There are different operations, different ways that it comes about. But it's the same Father God who works all in all. It's the same Father God who works all the gifts of the Spirit in all the ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked last week about the importance of us as we're moving and talking about being led by the Spirit and moving in the power of the Spirit, not to get so engrossed in just the Holy Spirit's work that we forget about the all-important ministry of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of His gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and the other gifts that are in just the whole body, ministry gifts, serving, the gift of leading, the gift of giving, the gift of prophecy. I'm not talking about the office of the prophet. I'm talking about just the gift of prophecy that God uses in so many people. The gift of showing mercy, the gift of exhorting one another. Those are all ministry gifts under the Lord Jesus that function in His church. And when I say in His church, I'm not talking about in this building. I'm talking about in us, the church. Does everybody understand the difference? When the Bible talks about the church in the New Testament, we're generally talking about the people, not buildings. And so He's the head of the church. He's not the head of buildings. He's the head of us. We are His church, His body. Now, we talked last week about the importance of us as we're hearing from the Holy Spirit and as we're directed to move in the power of the Spirit and to allow these gifts to manifest through us by the Holy Spirit, that we also need to be in alignment with the Lord, the head of the church, and all the ministries that He's set in order in the church. And that's why Paul started off and said there are different gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. And there are different ministries, but it's the same Lord Jesus. There are different activities or ways that they all come about, but it's the same Father God who works the gifts, not in spite of the ministries, not instead of the ministries, but in the ministries. Isn't that right? See the difference? In the ministry, so we always need to be aware that even though the Holy Spirit is moving on our behalf or in us to even have a word or give a word, that if the leadership is not going that direction, it's okay. You're not responsible for missing the Holy Spirit when you submit to leadership. Does everybody understand that? If the Holy Spirit is moving, you have something from the Holy Spirit, and the leader says, no, we're not going to do that right now, we're going to go a different direction, you are not accountable for that. I have to give it. You don't have to give it. In fact, the Bible says about prophets, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, your spirit doesn't control you, and the Holy Spirit just doesn't manipulate you and you go around and do things. No. And here the Apostle Paul was writing and telling the prophets, two or three you speak, and then that's enough. But another prophet might say, but I got something too from the Holy Spirit. And the prophet and the apostle said, that's enough. And some people would say that's quenching the Spirit. But we know it cannot be because the Holy Spirit is inspiring this apostle to write this. Is that right? We forget that sometimes, that the Holy Spirit inspires these people that serve under the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and their authority is also inspired of the Holy Spirit. And when it comes down to me here in the Spirit and you here in the Spirit, whoever the Lord Jesus has put in charge takes precedent. Is that right? Is that scriptural? It absolutely is. And if we don't do it that way, the way the scripture lays it out, then we're going to have a whole lot of people that are just doing whatever their spirit, they feel like the Holy Spirit is doing, and it's a free-for-all, and it's chaos, and it doesn't bless the body. People get injured and hurt, and they walk away, and maybe a few people got ministered to, but the masses are not being ministered to, and it begins to fall apart. Even if revival and a powerful move of God happens, and we've seen that happen before, we have to understand that in the middle of the Holy Spirit moving, we don't ever want to quench the Spirit. But Jesus is the head of the church, and He will direct leadership to take things in a certain direction and to try to comprehend what the Holy Spirit is saying and when it's time to move on. Because how many of you know in a group this size, if we're all listening to the Holy Spirit, we're not all hearing the same thing. There is no way everybody can have it their way. And some of us have something the Holy Spirit's ministering to us about and showing us, but it's for us to pray. But we want to tell everybody. Well, how do you know whether it's to pray? Well, one way you know is watch what God is leading the leaders to do and flow with that. And if there's no opportunity for you to share that, then pray about it. That's simple, isn't it? See, but a lot of people say that's not right. It is right. It is absolutely right. There is no other way that it could work without chaos. And Paul repeatedly says it needs to be done with decency and in order. And so he's charging the leaders, this is the way that I want it done. And here the apostle is declaring it as a leader himself. Now, look at verse 7, because I want to move on to this next verse. And I believe there's a powerful point that the Lord wants to bring out to us today. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Notice, the manifestation of the Spirit, talking about what we would call the gifts of the Spirit, or just the way the Holy Spirit ministers. He said it's given to each one. Everybody say each one. What does that mean? That means everybody in the body of Christ. Everybody. Everyone in the body of Christ needs to be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit in their life. Because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Notice it doesn't say the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the pastors, to the apostles, to the prophets, to the ministry team, to the ushers. No, it says everybody, each one, each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to them in various ways to minister. And what's the purpose? What does it say? For what? For the profit of all. Not for the profit of himself or herself, but for the profit of everybody. So notice the way that God has designed this to function in a church, that everybody is open and available and willing to be used by the Holy Spirit so that he can manifest himself to profit everybody. But we know this to be true, that in the average church, even in a Spirit-filled church, a church that believes in these things, because a lot of churches don't even believe in this. They believe all this, that this doesn't happen anymore. Thank God we know that this does happen. One reason is because, the primary reason is because the Bible doesn't say that they were meant to stop now. That's an error in people's interpretation of the Bible. But another reason is because they're happening. And when they happen, you know they happen because it just happened. Isn't that right? And you know it's God. We're moving forward. But most Christians do not open themselves up to be used in the manifestation or the power of the Holy Spirit. And so think about this. When we all come together and we have various needs for guidance, needs for healing, needs for deliverance, needs for wisdom, and we have a whole body that is intended to come and to have the power of the Holy Spirit flow through them, if only 5% of the body of Christ flows and allows the Holy Spirit to flow and minister through them, then are all the needs going to be met? No, they're not going to be met. We just assume that, well, you know, Pastor Jerry's going to flow in these things. He's going to give me a word. He's going to lay hands on me. I'm going to be healed. It's just all going to happen through Pastor Jerry. Or maybe there's somebody else that you really feel is spiritual, and that's where you get yours. But you know, that's not the way it's designed. It's designed that the manifestation of the Spirit flows through everybody so that everybody can be touched. And it's no wonder not everybody has their needs met in churches, because so few people have opened themselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit to allow God to use them. You know, when you come to church, you shouldn't just come to church to be fed and to be ministered to. That's a good part of it. Absolutely. No doubt about it. You should come expecting. But you should also be praying while you're getting ready for church. In the car, on the way, say, Lord, use me today. God, I don't know what you have today. You may not even feel spiritual. Let me tell you a little tip. You don't have to feel dink for the Holy Spirit to use you. These things are not dependent on emotions. These are spiritual things, not emotional things. You may feel tired. You may feel weary. You may feel discouraged. But if you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, He can still function through you. And I tell you what, that'll encourage you when you see Him minister through you. On the way in the car, that shouldn't be a time to fight. That should be a time to open yourself up and say, Lord, as we come in today, use me. I open myself up to whatever you have, Holy Spirit, to give an encouraging word, a smile, or whatever you want to do, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, I'm available to you. Can you imagine if we all walked in, not only ready to receive, but ready to give? Can you imagine the power of that? And the Holy Spirit speaking and touching people? There would be 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more testimonies of people being changed if we would walk in like that. Look at verse 11 for just a minute. Paul says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Notice it says each one again, but then it says individually as He wills. As who wills? As the Holy Spirit wills, right? As the Holy Spirit wills. What does that mean? That means that you can't muster up a gift of the Spirit. You know, if somebody needs healing, you can't just say, okay, ready? What are you doing? I'm trying to get a gift of the Spirit of healing to come. You can't do that. You can't. Is that right? You can't do that. You can't just try to get something to happen. It's as He wills. Everybody say, as He wills. As He wills. But I've noticed this. I've noticed that people that don't ever pray for somebody to be healed don't ever have manifestations of the Spirit in healing. I've noticed that the people that flow in gifts of healings, where people are healed instantly, I've noticed that these are also people that pray for people that are not always instantly healed, but they lay hands on people on a fairly regular basis. But somebody that never prays for anybody to be healed on a regular basis doesn't have gifts of healing flowing in their life. Do you understand? In other words, people that lay hands on people and pray for them to be healed, occasionally, as the Holy Spirit wills, while they're believing God and putting all the faith that they have into it, occasionally the Holy Spirit will show up and manifest Himself and do something that this person wasn't even aware was going to happen. They're just believing God that this person will recover and get better. But the Holy Spirit steps in, as He wills, while they're adding their faith and believing God over this person. Bam! Instant healing. I like those. But don't get the idea that because it happened this time and it didn't happen next time that you're doing something, what did I do wrong? Well, it's as He wills. You understand? But if you're not ministering at all, then even though He wills, it's not going to happen. You have to be there ready to minister and pray with people and be ready for the Holy Spirit to move. And so we need to open ourselves up to that. And I want to talk just a little bit about that, but I want to use the word of wisdom today to do it. Let me talk to you about the word of wisdom. It's that one, the very first one that Paul talks about in verse 8. To one is given the word of wisdom. Most of us know what wisdom is. Wisdom is a word or an idea, a thought of what you need to do that would be better than anything else. It's called wisdom, right? How to apply knowledge. What do I do about this situation? And if you get wisdom, that means that now you know what you need to do so that the best scenarios play out. It's just wisdom, right? But this is not just wisdom. And it irritates me that so many Christian teachers water down the gifts of the Spirit to the point that they just become very natural things. And so a word of wisdom, would put it in the same category as godly advice. You come and saying, you work at the post office. You say, I just really hate my boss. And so you say, I have a word of wisdom. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And so my godly advice is, don't kill him. Okay, that's a word of wisdom. Well, that is wisdom not to kill him. Isn't that right? That's wisdom. But that's not a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's just good, godly, biblical, common sense advice. Don't do it, dummy, right? But a whole lot of people talk about the word of wisdom as if that's all it is just godly or pastoral counseling. And you just come in, and if you give them some good advice, I believe I gave them word of wisdom today, good encouraging. No, that's not the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom, listen, is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit showed up and gave some wisdom that you couldn't come up with. You couldn't go into your history log in your mind, into your experience, and pull up some, well, you know what I did one time, and here's a good idea. That's not a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is supernatural. It's something that only God knows. You don't know. If you knew it, it wouldn't be a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It'd be a manifestation of you. And let me tell you something. People are not desperate for a manifestation of you. They need a manifestation of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows the future. He knows what's coming up in the future. And if you look in the Bible, you'll see the word of wisdom all over the place. And we need to understand, this is one of the things I want you to understand as we walk through these manifestations, that they didn't start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You read the whole Bible and you'll see the Holy Spirit manifesting himself all through the Bible. They were just never defined in a list like this until 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But now Paul brought, by the Holy Spirit, some categoric definition to the manifestation of the Spirit so that we can understand how they all work. But just think about it. I mean, Elisha, the captain of the army of Syria, Naaman, was a leper. And he finally heard that there was a prophet named Elisha. There was a man of God. And somebody said, he can get you healed. And so he came to see Elisha, and Elisha wouldn't even come out to see him. Sent a servant and said, just go tell him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Remember that? And he got ticked off. I came all this way, brought him a big gift. Elisha didn't accept the gift anyway. I brought him a big gift. He won't even come out to see me. He was all ticked off because he wanted the man of God to give personal attention. Well, the man of God gave him exactly what he needed. He gave him a word of wisdom. Go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And he said, we got better rivers than Jordan in our country. And he ran off and he wasn't going to do it. And his servant said, you know, you came all this way, you know, if he'd have told you to do some great outstanding thing, wouldn't you have done it? Well, you know, why don't you try it? What's it going to hurt? And so he went and did it. And when he came up the 7th time, he was completely healed of leprosy. That's a word of wisdom. See, that's not godly advice. You understand? That's not godly advice. That is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit because that's not supposed to work. Is that right? Many times a word of wisdom is something that does not work. But that time it's going to work. Why? Because God knows that's a word of wisdom. Thank God. A word of wisdom is generally about the future. This is what you need to do in the future. It's not about the past. It's about the future. You need to do something or not do something or prepare for something that's going to happen in the future. So it's directed in the future. This happens so many times in the ministry of Jesus. How many of you know Jesus all the time? The 10 lepers were crying to him from afar off, Lord, have mercy on us. And he just yells at them, go show yourselves to the priests. Well, no, we're lepers. We're not supposed to be around anybody. But if you know the Old Testament, you'll know that only when a leper thinks he's cleansed does he go to the priest so the priest can check him out to see if he's really clean and declare him clean from leprosy. And Jesus is telling him something to do in faith. Now, you could yell the very next week at 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. And they'll get there and the priest go, what? Look at you. Get out of here. And it wouldn't work. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't share with you that that's what they needed to do. But those 10 lepers... the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Do you remember that story? I mean, it just happened all the time in the ministry of Jesus. They ran out of wine at the wedding. And Jesus' mom said, hey, they ran out of wine. He said, not my problem. That's my interpretation of what he said. Hey, it's not time for me to be doing anything yet. What's that have to do with me? And then she tells the servants that were there, hey, whatever he says to do, just do it. And so there were some 6 water pots, large water pots, 20, 30 gallons apiece, there for purification, Jewish things. And he says, go fill those up with water. All right, now take some of that water and give it to the master of the feast. And they did, and by the time they got it there, it had turned into wine. And the master said, that's the best wine. What is that? It's a word of wisdom. Do you understand? This is not just godly counsel. And everybody understand the difference? Don't allow people who don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to water this down so that everybody in the body of Christ, whether you've been filled with the Spirit or not, you can just give godly counsel and act like it's a word of wisdom. No, this is special. This is the power of the Holy Spirit in operation, doing things way above the human level. And we need this. Can you imagine the power of us being able to hear from the Holy Spirit to go do something that causes supernatural results in our life? And Jesus did it all the time. He told the guys that were out fishing all night, they caught nothing. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Well, Lord, we fished all night. It's daytime. You know, you don't fish with nets in the daytime. Okay, at your word, I'll let down one of them, right? And he went and did. The net was breaking. It was so full. What was that? It was a word of wisdom. Here's what you need to do. Did it produce a harvest? Yes. He said another time, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll catch some fish. See, it's a word of wisdom. It doesn't make sense, but it's a word of wisdom. It's a word of wisdom. We need these. Now, I've told you so many times when the Holy Spirit gives me a word of wisdom, sometimes for other people, but many times just for me, just for the church. In January of 1999, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to plant a church this year. And I knew it was Anaheim. What is that? That's a word of wisdom. Here's what I want you to do. And now we look and we see, that was God. But back then, it was faith. I believe the Holy Spirit told me something to do. I never lived in Orange County. I had to go and I had to let them know I'm resigning from my job. I had to move my whole family, everything. And there was nobody down here in Orange County saying, hey, you know, we'll support you if you come down and do something. Nobody. We came down and did it because God said to do it. And now we see, well, it was God. This is God. God's hand is obviously on it. But it began just by a word of wisdom. Do you understand? In November of 1996, I've told you that 5 in the morning or so, I woke up and the Holy Spirit said to me, start meditating the healing scriptures because you're going to need them in 6 months. What is that? It's a word of wisdom. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but he says in 6 months, you're going to need to have meditated the healing scriptures. That's a word of wisdom. See, we need this. Amen. We need this. I'm telling you, these things are powerful. They're important. We need them to happen all the time. There are people that come into our congregation that know that they need wisdom and they need a word from God. That doesn't mean that they have to go around. You got a word of wisdom for me? You got to know. We ask the Holy Spirit. He can speak to us directly. But it's so powerful when somebody else out of the blue, they haven't even been asked, just came and said, you know what? I just feel like I need to say something to you. Now, let me just remind you, if it doesn't bear witness in your spirit and confirm what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, don't act on it. You are responsible to follow the Holy Spirit, not words from other people. And I just want to clarify that to you. So don't come crying and saying, they told me that I needed to do this. Now I lost my business and now I married the wrong person. Now, well, that's your fault. You don't just take somebody just because they're a spiritual person and go do what they said. It's your responsibility to pray and to make sure that you have at least a witness from the Holy Spirit that this is what God wants you to do. And then you make that decision based on what you sense. But thank God that many times when somebody gives you something, you'll have a witness on it. I've had many, many, many people give me things that I didn't have a witness on, didn't move on. And I didn't feel like I was being disobedient to God at all. You know why? Because I'm not responsible to do what they hear. I'm responsible to do what I hear. And if they speak a word to me, and while they're speaking it, I hear God, and I sense God, and I know that's God, now I'm responsible to move. But it's because I sensed God and believe that it confirms what the Lord is saying to me. Amen? Does everybody understand that? These are important things to know. Thank God. Now, 2 months ago, I got a word of wisdom from the Lord. Said, I want you to start over. What's that called? It's a word of wisdom. In the process of time, we'll see the wisdom of that word of wisdom, right? It takes time for these things to play out. But we need this all the time. Now, a lot of times you'll receive it for yourself, but here, he's primarily talking about for the benefit of others. Word of wisdom is one of the manifestations of the Spirit that happens the most out of the 9 in my life. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, those are two very primary things that the Lord uses me in. And that may be for you too, but others of you have. Thank God we need all 9 manifestations and categories of the Holy Spirit's wisdom. But I remember about 4, Well, it must have been 6 years ago now, because a good friend of mine that I went to Bible college with, that's also a pastor, we were at a retreat together. This was before the Lord had ever spoken to me about coming to Orange County and such. But he had made plans, and he was in the process of planting a church. And we were in a retreat. We were praying over some things. And I remember I had this sense that I had a word for him. I had something that the Holy Spirit wanted me to give to him. And I didn't see it all. So I asked him, Steve, can I pray for you? He said, I feel like I got something from the Lord. Yes, pray for me. And so I prayed for him. And in that process, I said, here's what I believe the Lord wants to say to you. I said, I believe that the Lord is showing me that this is future now. When you start this church, it's going to take off pretty good. It's going to grow pretty quickly. And you're going to be excited about that. But then you're going to get to a season where it's going to level off. And you're going to have the opportunity to be discouraged. You're going to have the opportunity to give up on ever having the church reach the potential that you originally had from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know, don't be discouraged in that season, because there'll be another season coming after that where you take off again. And so, you know, you just give that. How many of you know when you give that, you're vulnerable? Who knows? Maybe he planted the church and nothing happened for 10 years, which happens in a lot of churches. It just doesn't go anywhere. And so he'd have known pretty quickly whether I was on or off. Isn't that right? Well, thank God he planted the church and the thing kind of took off in just a short time. They're running 200 or 300 people in just 2 or 3 years, they're running 200 or 300 people, which is great. By the way, you may not know, but across the board, transdenominationally, churches average about 70 people. A whole church average is the average of about 70 people. And so he's running 200 or 300 people in just 2 or 3 years. He's doing well. But then they hit this plateau. And they went on this plateau for several years. Now, that's a long time when you've been growing quickly. And then all of a sudden people are saying, there must be something wrong. I wonder what's going on. People start questioning and such. And he said he remembered what the Holy Spirit said, that word of wisdom. Don't be discouraged, because it's not over. And a whole lot of pastors will hit a plateau and they'll begin to believe God and nothing will happen for a while. And then they'll begin to back off and say, well, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit, maybe God doesn't want our church to grow any larger than this. And I've seen some people just get attitudes toward anybody with a larger church. You know, God hasn't called everybody to be a large church. And I'm not arguing with that a bit. I'm just saying that if you don't watch yourself, you'll begin to cop an attitude and take offense that somebody might be looking down on you. And then you'll stop believing God. In fact, I talked to a pastor recently and I was asking him about casting vision of what the Lord wants to do. And he said, you know, I don't cast vision anymore. I said, you don't? And he was struggling in the church. He said, no, I don't cast vision anymore. He said, I've done that 2 or 3 times. And we cast vision. We got excited. And he said, but it didn't come to pass. And so I just learned not to do that anymore. We're just going to believe. We're just going to love God. We're just going to worship God, teach the Bible. But we're not going to talk about what's going to happen in the future. Well, how many of you know there's something missing when we don't stretch out and believe God? There's something missing. You can become so discouraged as a leader that the things that you cast vision for didn't come to pass. But you can't allow the devil to get to you. That doesn't mean it's your fault. There are a lot of other people involved in what the Lord says to do, not just one person. And a lot of people point the finger at the leader. If it doesn't happen, it's the leader. Well, there are a lot of other factors. Sometimes there are people in the congregation that need to step up. Sometimes the staff just needs time to mature and grow up. It takes time for these things to happen. And we got to be careful not to be discouraged. Well, Steve said to me, he said, that sure did help to be able to look back and for the Holy Spirit to have told me that this was coming in advance, so that I fought through the discouragement and we continued to look forward and believe God that it was going to take off. And then after a few years of leveling off, I just talked to him it was in June. I saw him at convention. I talked to him. I said, how you doing? How's the church going? He said, man, it took off again. He said, we're running about 900 now. And I said, praise God. Praise God. But see, he remembered. He said, I remembered what the Holy Spirit said. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't get settled in. Don't compromise what you believe in God for. How many of you know we need words of wisdom? Isn't that right? In Bible college, I had a pastor that was a teacher there named Steve Schell. What a tremendous man of God. Tremendous man of God. He was just there at the college for a couple of short years, I believe. And I had the privilege of having him. And this guy's the real deal. He pastors up in the Northwest. In fact, some folks from our church attended that church, Northwest Four Square Church, up in the state of Washington. Tremendous church, tremendous pastor. But he teaches a lot on the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He believes in it very much and has it operating in his church. But he shared a couple of things that I want to share with you that I thought were just outstanding. And it just gives a picture of the importance of the word of wisdom. He was driving on a little vacation with his family from Washington toward Montana. And he said, as they were approaching Missoula, Montana, I've never been there myself, but I just hear him tell the story. He said, night had fallen. They're on the freeway. He's in the left lane. And they're approaching Missoula. And he said he felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, get out of the left lane. But then he thought, you know, I've been talking about gifts of the Spirit and everything, and, you know, it's probably just me. And so he didn't. And a couple minutes later, he got it again. Get out of the left lane. And so he just kind of chuckled, thinking, you know, that's just me trying to, you know, make something up, because he's told stories before about people saying, you know, don't get on that plane, and the Lord's speaking to people, and the plane has problems and all kinds of things and crashes and people avoiding tragedy. And so he's thinking, I'm just making this up, trying to muster up something, you know, and he kind of chuckles and tells his wife. And, you know, I'm thinking that maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to me to get out of the left lane. Well, she didn't take it so lightly. She wasn't giggling about it. In fact, the volume raised a little bit in the car. And before he knew it, he's out of the left lane. You know, sometimes you listen to your wife better than the Holy Spirit. We can all relate to that. And so he said they were coming up on Missoula, and they were looking at the lights, and it was beautiful, and they were commenting and gazing over to their right, that direction. And he said, all of a sudden, on their side of the freeway, going in the opposite direction, a black Buick Riviera with no lights flew past them at 80 miles an hour in the left lane. He said it startled them, shocked them so much. Can you imagine? Now, we've heard of stories of people, whole families being taken out and such. And you have to wonder, if the Holy Spirit wasn't trying to get somebody's attention, trying to say, but we don't pay any attention, just on a travel trip. How many of you know we need the word of wisdom? Isn't that right? We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need this. We need this. Steve told another story. He said that he's got a friend, not a person that he hangs out with a lot, but somebody in earlier years, named Bob. And Bob was the head of the Presbyterian Charismatic Communities, an organization that was called that, a number of years ago. And Bob was a tremendous pastor, and he was a teacher, and also had a healing ministry. He'd go out. He's a conference speaker, very fine conference speaker. Many healings would happen in his ministry. But at home, his youngest son, Sam, was severely epileptic. And when I say severely, I mean that Sam had hundreds of small seizures a day, and numerous grandma, large, intense seizures a day. Sam bit his tongue off 3 times. And so Bob would go out and he'd minister in healing. You can imagine the discouragement of seeing many people healed under his ministry and coming home, and sometimes his son would be seized on the floor. He'd pray for him, but to no avail. Bob, because of his travels and such, knew many of the big name healing leaders and evangelists and so on, people that saw thousands and hundreds of thousands of healings. And so many times he'd take Sam on his trips and bring him before one of these big name healing leaders. And I don't say that in a derogatory way at all. I'm just saying people that we would see on television and such, and say, would you please pray for my son? Because Bob obviously believed in healing, but for some reason it wasn't happening from him and his wife toward their son. And his heart was distraught. And they all prayed for him, and to no avail, he was not healed. He continued to suffer with this, and getting worse to some extent. And this all happened while Sam was between a year old and 12 years old. All of this happened. And when he was 12 years old, a couple in Bob and Phyllis's church came to them and said, would it be okay if we started spending a little bit of time with Sam? And they said, sure, that'd be fine. And so they began to come a couple of times a week and take him to the park or the zoo and hang out with him and talk to him, pray with him. And they'd do that a couple of times a week, but then every day they'd pray over him. Just pray for Sam. Praying, God, heal him, deliver, show us what we need to do, and so on. And one day they came, and Bob and Phyllis, that was Sam's parents, they said, we feel like Sam needs to drink more water. Okay. Wonderful. All right. And so they started giving Sam some more water. And a little while later, they came back and said, we feel like Sam needs to be eating more fish. And this is back in the mid-80s. This is before it was popular and people knew that fish was really helpful for the brain and all that. I feel like he needs to eat more fish. Okay, you know, water wasn't seeming to do anything. And we'll try the fish. So they're trying to feed this 12-year-old fish, which is usually not a fun thing. And then a little while later, they came and they said, you know, we've been praying for Sam, and we believe, and this is where we go a little bit farther than our comfort zone, my comfort zone included. They said, we believe that while Sam was in his mother's womb, and now they're talking about what they sense while they're praying for him, that his mother tried to abort him herself, and that Sam was traumatized in the womb. Now, let me tell you about Sam. Sam was adopted because he was found as an infant on the lid of a trash can. And this couple adopted him. And she said, they said, we believe that he was traumatized in the womb. And that we need to pray that he be delivered and healed from that trauma. Well, you know, how would you know? You know, I mean, it sounds pretty far-fetched, doesn't it? And I've seen people, and I get hesitant when we get into people that are trying to go into people's pasts and dig up something and pull up something, and sometimes under the guise of inner healing. And I don't believe all people that talk about inner healing are bad. I've heard some people around here mention it, and I listen very attentively to hear how they're approaching inner healing. Because I've seen some very unscriptural things happen under that heading of inner healing. How many of you know we can't change the past? But the Holy Spirit sometimes will identify something in the past that we can do something about now. We can't go back and change what happened then. Can't muster up somebody and say, you know, when your mommy said that to you, now I want you to go back and instead of responding the way that you did, I want you to say, Mommy, I forgive you. No, you can't go back and re-say something to mommy. Do you understand? But if the Holy Spirit shows you something in the future, then you can do something about the way you respond to the past today and in the future. And so, you know, it wasn't going to Sam and saying, Sam, when you were in your mother's womb, how'd that make you feel? No. It would have to be something of the Spirit to do that, because there's nobody that can measure. Nobody's taken a survey of in-the-womb babies to say, how do you feel? You traumatized? You feel good? Everything all right? Do you feel anything? Can you think? You know, you can't do that. So what I'm sharing with you is, sometimes the proof is just in the pudding. If some people are hearing from God. But we need to be very careful that we don't. Some people, you talk about these things, and now they want to get in all that because they think I'd be cool, spiritually cool, if I get into things that nobody would know if it's right or wrong. And let me tell you something, we don't want to go there. We don't want to get into weirdness. We just want to stay with the Holy Spirit. Be very natural, very normal, but be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And she said, I believe we need to pray for Sam, that he be healed from this trauma. Well, you know, as parents, what are they going to do? Yeah, let's pray. Man, hey, we just want our son to be healed. And so they laid hands and they prayed for Sam. You know, during that whole process that couple began to come and spend time with Sam was a 6-month process. But you know, Sam was completely healed of epilepsy 100%, took him back to the doctor. They did all the brain scans and everything else. They said there is zero activity, none. And you know, epilepsy is not a virus that you just get cured from. It's not a disease that you get healed from. It's a problem in the brain. It's not something that goes away. It's something that many times can become worse as time goes on. And he was completely healed. And Bob continued to teach classes and such on the Holy Spirit. And he makes this point when he teaches his classes. He shares the story about his son Sam. And by the way, Sam, in the next year and a half, caught up 3 grades because he'd fallen way behind. And went to college, got a great job, and is doing very well because Pastor Steve saw Bob about 10 years later and said, "How's Sam doing?" He said, "Sam's doing great. He's healed, still doing well. The healing stuck, thank God," and gave a good positive testimony. But Bob, in his classes, teaches this point. He says, what would have happened if this couple in the church who had this laid on their heart to come and begin to spend time to help Sam, if they would have thought, you know, they took him to all the best evangelists, all the big name healers, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He said, I hate to think what would have come of my son Sam had they thought that. And not just stepped out to say, well, God, you know, we don't know what you want us to do, but if you want us to start spending some time and praying for him, we'll do it. And just little by little, didn't happen all in one day. But just as the weeks and months went on, they just got a little something and they acted on it. And it changed a life forever, changed a whole family. And it brought confidence to this healing minister that he can go out and not only give testimony about what God has done in him, but in his own family, though God didn't use him, the body of Christ came into play. And God used the body to minister. You see, every one of us are called to be keys on God's keychain. Everybody. The way that the ministry is that you were called to, the gifts of the Spirit that are supposed to function in your ministry. They're supposed to be combinations that cause effects. There are different gifts, there are differences of ministries, and there are different effects of how those combinations go together. And different combinations of people and their gifts flowing together in different situations become the combination that unlocks that door. Benny Hinn and all of the other big healing evangelists were not meant to meet everybody's healing needs and deliverance needs. Sometimes it just takes a regular old person like you and me just to come and say, God, I don't know what to do. But he shows you a little bit of something, gives you a little word of wisdom. And see, in that particular case, they had both words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Things that knowledge of something that's happened in the past, but wisdom of what we need to do about that. But it unlocked just a regular couple in the church. Got this kid completely delivered from a severe handicap. When the big names prayed and it didn't happen, that combination was not the combination that would unlock this situation. And so I believe the heart of God is burdened when the body of Christ, people in the body of Christ, treat these manifestations of the Spirit like a salad bar. And you know, you come up, you know, I'll take some of this. I want teaching and I want worship. But no, I'm just going to pass over all these gifts of the Spirit. That's just, you know, that's too much for me. I'm just not into all that. I just want this. Not realizing that they're not for you. They're for the Lord to use through you to benefit other people. And love would say, I can't pass by that. I have to open myself up because Pastor Jerry is not going to have the combination in his ministry to unlock all the doors. I've got to be a part of this. There are some things that God will do through me that will unlock people that may never be unlocked by any other situation or anybody else ministering to them. And I believe the Lord is saying to the Rock, our church, that we have to embrace this move of the Spirit and value it and understand the precious gift that it is to be used by God, all of us together. All of us. And it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, how much you think you've matured in God. God can use you if your heart is right before the Lord. If you just open up and say, Lord, you know I'm not all right, but use me by your power. You'd be surprised. God is so desperate to help people. Father is so desperate to help people that he will use us. He will use, even if you're having a bad day, God will use you. God will use you. And how many of you know, right in our congregation today, not just in this service, but in all of our services, and people that won't even attend this weekend because they're on vacation or just something happened in their schedule, there are needs. There are locks that need to be unlocked. And you're part of a combination to unlock some of these locks. Would you open up your heart right now? Would you close your eyes right now? Maybe stretch your hands right out in front of you as a sign of your heart being open and say, God, lead me. God, I open myself up to you to be used by your Spirit. Go ahead, tell him right now with your own words and from your own mouth, Lord, I open myself to you to be used by your Spirit. Father, we need all the manifestations of the Spirit. You said it's been given to each one, God. And we don't just let somebody else do all of that stuff and we'll just